In Revelation chapter 17, John writes of a fearful vision of a woman which reigned over the kings of the earth, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. A great Antichrist world-ruling system which would control all of the kings or rulers of the earth, and which would bring death and destruction upon the followers of Jesus to the extent that she was drunk with their blood. Her name is given in verse 5 of Revelation 17, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I am going to discuss this mystery, Babylon the Great, in this broadcast and in several more, to answer the question, what is Mystery Babylon? Christendom hears a lot of preaching on a future Antichrist, some great world ruler who is supposed to appear on the world scene in the future, take control of all nations, and bring a time of tribulation upon the earth. Most who teach this insist that the Christians will not be on the earth when this happens, but will have been translated to heaven, there to remain with Jesus Christ until the 7 years of the Antichrist rule is over. We'll get on with our Bible study in just a moment or so, and while you are getting your Bibles and calling a friend to tell them to tune in on this program, I will list the free literature which you may have in our January packet. You will receive my 24-page illustrated pamphlet, actually a small book, titled Billions for the Bankers, Debt to the People. This is a simple treatise on the operation of the international financiers which brings about wars in which the masses of the earth suffer untold misery and death, while the moneylenders and the international corporation conglomerates reap millions in war profits and plunder. The recent so-called war in Vietnam is a prime example of a war carried on by the rulers of two nations, the United States of America on one side and Russia on the other, in which the war is fought not on the land of either of those nations, but on a land which is thousands of miles away. A land which is almost totally destroyed in the conflict, millions of her people being killed and several millions more maimed and crippled, and when the war is over, international oil cartels, munitions manufacturers, and the international bankers are billions of dollars richer, while the people of Russia, the people of Vietnam, and the people of America are not only less well off, but are hundreds of billions of dollars in debt to the moneylenders. The people of Russia, China, and North Vietnam were told the war was to bring victory for communism over South Vietnam. The people of the United States and South Vietnam were told the war was to bring defeat to communism in South Vietnam. Neither of these goals were accomplished. In fact, the political condition of both South Vietnam and North Vietnam is exactly what it was before the fighting began. Since the publicly stated goals of the war were not accomplished for either side, was the actual goal something else? Obviously it was. For the men who rule Russia and the men who rule America were friends before the Vietnam War. They remained friendly during the Vietnam War, and they are cooperating friends now after our armies are withdrawn. Was the actual goal of this war the physical destruction of South Vietnam, which was accomplished? Was it the demoralizing and destruction of the United States military power, which was accomplished? And was it the adding of $150 billion to the debts of the U.S. taxpayers, which was accomplished? My pamphlet, Billions for the Bankers, Debt to the People, will answer that question for you. All right, let's turn to the book of Revelation. We saw in chapter 1 that John said these visions he was shown were of things which, quote, must shortly come to pass, unquote. A reasonable interpretation of that Since the very end of the visions in Revelation 22 is of the great kingdom age, when Jesus would rule upon the earth, is that these visions in the earlier chapters must be a preview of the history of the world in the time leading up to the kingdom age. Our specific goal in this series is to identify Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, so we read part of those chapters, enough to see that she is a world dictatorship, that she is Antichrist and Antichristian, being responsible for the deaths of untold numbers of Christians, and that she must be and will be totally and completely destroyed before the return of Christ in Revelation 19. In verse 21 of Revelation 18, near the end of John's vision of her destruction, we read, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." To understand the prophetic events leading up to the destruction of Mystery Babylon before the kingdom age, we should begin by reading the visions John saw before the vision of Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Let's begin in Revelation 15, verse 1. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Whatever these would be, this would be the last of and the end of God's wrath. Last week we saw that the prophet spoke of a time they called the Day of the Lord, in which God's wrath would be poured out upon the wicked upon the earth. It is most probable that the pouring out of these seven vials then would be during the time the prophet called the Day of the Lord. After John sees the angels with the vials, and before he sees them poured out upon the earth, he goes on. Verse 2, Revelation 15. "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the heart of God." The number referred to here, of course, is the number 666, given in chapter 13, verse 18, and referred to in chapter 14. 666 is the number of man, or of man's rule, upon the earth in opposition to the rule of Christ, or what we would call Antichrist. Now, many teach this will be one man, yet future, who will rule after the Christians are raptured off the earth. I do not want to take time to cover 666 in this series, but the number is already in use on a worldwide basis. As an example, textiles being exported from Red China have the number 666 imprinted on the cloth. The Jews use the number 666 in their military designations in Israeli, and the number 666 is being used by the United States Treasury Department. You can obtain a copy of their small publication on illegal weapons, and on the front cover, they have a Treasury agent badge, and the badge number, just as plain as can be, is 666. If you would like a copy of that, just write to the U.S. Treasury Department, Washington, D.C., and ask for their publication on illegal guns, or you can obtain one from your congressman. As some of my listeners would know, also, the men of the Protestant Reformation in Europe of several centuries ago pointed out that the Latin title of the Roman Pope converted to Roman numerical values totaled exactly 666. That title in Latin is still the official title of the Roman popes today. So the number 666 is not future, It has been with us for centuries and is being openly used by Antichrist people and organizations in the world today. Anyway, the people in verse 2 of Revelation 15 are identified as those who have gotten the victory over the beast, his image, his mark, and the number of his name, and then in verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Two songs are referred to here, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, and the substance of the songs is then given briefly in the rest of these two verses, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now remember that all that is described here in sound and in vision is symbolic of something much greater, something covering a much longer period of time than the few minutes it might have taken John to see the vision. Briefly, the songs are the preaching and witnessing by the followers of Jesus during this age, from the time of John's vision right on down to the return of Jesus Christ. All who have not succumbed to the Antichrist, the system of man, which is partially designated by the number 666, have proclaimed the gospel of the Lamb, and they have been doing that for over 1900 years. The song of the Lamb is, literally, the preaching of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the redemption of Israel and the salvation of the world. But what is the song of Moses? We don't hear a lot of preaching about Moses these days from the churches, and yet John saw these saints singing both the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb in victory over 666. I have a series of 8 sermons, each about 45 minutes long, titled The Song of Moses. They are available on 4 90-minute cassettes for an offering of $10 toward this ministry. I have a weekly tape ministry in which subscribers receive each week a 45-minute Bible study sermon from my church and this 30-minute radio broadcast on tape. They listen to the tapes and then either return them for reuse or they can purchase them. And during the time I was preaching this series on the Song of Moses, practically every family on our tape ministry purchased and kept all of the series, many of them writing to say they had never heard the Song of Moses before and were amazed and thrilled at how these sermons opened up their understanding of the Old Testament and of prophecy. Some wrote to tell me they had listened to the series 2 and 3 and more times. One man told me he listened to it about 12 times in the year after I preached the Song of Moses. That may sound a little ridiculous to some of my newer listeners, but we do have some real Bible students who follow this ministry. Many of them would put most of the ministers in the country to shame with their love and knowledge of God's Word. You may have that series, The Song of Moses, on the 4 cassette tapes for an offering of $10 to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Let's go on in John's vision. Revelation 15, verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles, and one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now the next chapter then goes on to describe the pouring out upon the earth of these seven vials of God's wrath, and we'll read and discuss them briefly as we have time, but first, I want to point out to my listeners a very important truth revealed in the last verses of chapter 15. John saw a vision of the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven, and he said, "The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, but listen, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." In that phrase alone is proof that much of what is taught about heaven today is actually falsehood. Almost every denominational church in America and the Catholic Church teaches that Christians go to heaven to be with Christ immediately upon their death. Many Protestant denominations and most of the so-called non-denominational churches further teach that the rest of us will go to heaven to be with Christ in the so-called rapture of the church. They further teach that all of these vials of God's wrath here in Revelation 15 and 16 are going to be poured out upon the earth in the 7 years of great tribulation after we are in heaven. But John wrote rather plainly here that no man could enter the temple of the tabernacle in heaven until the seven plagues were fulfilled or completed. Where in the world does that leave you folks with your hope of the rapture? Well, it leaves you without biblical foundation, at least in Revelation 15. Now, I do not deny but that the believers will be in the temple of God sometime. For Jesus Christ himself said in Revelation 3:12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." And of course it was the overcomers which John was writing about in chapter 15. And he said, no man could enter the temple of God until the seven plagues were finished. Let's go on in chapter 16 and read about the seven plagues as far as we have time today, and I'll have to be rather brief on them, but I want to spend most of my radio time in this series on Mystery Babylon herself, in Revelation 17 and 18. Revelation 16, the angels now have the seven vials of God's wrath. Verse 1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." The wrath here falls on those who follow the system designated by the number 666. Verse 3, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the earth, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, if these are all yet future, we can go into any realm of speculation we want to as to what they mean. They obviously cannot be taken literally, for if they were, the second vial would have killed all life in the sea, and the third vial would have turned all the waters of the earth to blood. No, these are symbolic visions of great plagues or tribulations, which were to come upon the earth sometime after John saw the vision, and before the return of Jesus Christ at the end of this age. And many things have happened which easily fit, symbolically, these great plagues of God's wrath upon the earth. Let me just list a few. The dispersion and killing of most of the Jews in Old Jerusalem by the Romans. The persecution and death of millions of followers of Jesus by the Roman Empire. The destruction of Imperial Rome by the Goths and the Vandals. The sack and pillage of most of southern Europe, from the Black Sea to Gaul by Attila the Hun. The rise of the Holy Roman Empire, ruled by a succession of popes, which persecuted and put to death untold numbers of the faithful in Christ, even up to 300 years ago. The drive of Genghis Khan and his Mongol hordes from Asia to the very gates of Vienna and Berlin, and they burned to the ground every European city they conquered, raped the women, and killed and enslaved every male above 10 years of age. The conquest of the old Greek Empire and most of the Mediterranean lands by the Ottoman Empire, which lasted 1,335 years, the exact time given in the Book of Daniel. The so-called Crusades to the Holy Land and the city of Jerusalem, which lasted off and on for 2 centuries and brought death to hundreds of thousands in southern Europe and in the land of Palestine itself. The Black Plague of less than 500 years ago, which killed between 25% and 30% of all the people then alive upon the earth. With such calamities and vast destructions upon the people of the earth during the first 1,500 years of the Christian era, isn't it amazing that today almost every minister reading these prophecies of great tribulation say, oh, this is all future. This will happen in 7 years after we Christians are gone. We won't be here. And on and on and on. Don't they know history? Don't you know history? And why ignore such plain statements in God's Word in verse 8 of Revelation 15, which says, no man can enter the temple of God until after these tribulations brought upon the earth by God's wrath are fulfilled. Even verse 6 of Revelation 16 says some of those were punished because, quote, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, unquote. That is the same accusation made against Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17, the Mystery Babylon which is destroyed by the 6th and 7th vials of God's wrath. How could they shed the blood of saints and prophets if the Christians are to be taken off the earth safe and alive before these things come to pass? Well, my time is almost gone for today. We'll continue in Revelation 16 next week, God willing, and go on to find out what is Mystery Babylon, the last great Antichrist system destroyed by God before the ushering in of the kingdom age. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bible, and pray for Christian America.